Welcome to the Beats and Coffee Podcast, episode 10. Today, my guest is a talented young producer making beats on YouTube in the pop genre. If I had to guess, if I had to call it anything in the pop genre, I'd probably call it like the dark pop genre. Her channel is quickly growing in subs as well as views per video. Please welcome Eve Two to the podcast. Welcome. Thank you for joining.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, very cool. So just so you know, I know like you got an email from me out of nowhere and you're probably like, who is this guy? How did he find me? For me, I make a lot of Madison Beer type beats. And so I am always kind of checking out the competition and, you know, looking at the YouTube search rankings, and your channel kept popping up and your videos kept popping up. And so I'm like, okay, I gotta talk to her, see what she's doing here.
Yeah.
So, just start out, I'll probably ask the question that everyone always asks, but how did you get involved with making music and producing?
So I was basically raised in a very musical family. My mom was doing music and so was my dad. So naturally I was very like musically inclined, and I didn't start getting into like the beat making sort of process or like industry really until like I think my eighth grade year, when I was just producing songs for myself. And I found that I was kind of good at producing like the backing tracks for what I did. So I went on YouTube and I found that you could like make money and like sell them on YouTube. And I was like, that's really cool. And so I decided to just take that up. And that's basically how it all happened.
How it started. Very cool. I know like for me, like I made music for years before trying to sell beats online. I honestly was kind of delusional. I kind of had like an ego about it where I'm like, oh, my music's too good to sell to local artists. I'm going to save my music here until some, you know, big artist comes along and wants to use it. Did you have any hesitation like that, or did you just like dive right in?
I think honestly, I did dive right in. I was just ready to like put myself out there for people.
That's cool. Honestly, it's probably a generational thing.
I
had more of an old head mentality going into it. I've completely done a 180 on it, and willing to try new things out all the time now. But let's see. So I wanted to talk about your sound, because, you know, before I heard a couple of your beats, like a lot of the time I'm usually looking at other people's channels and, you know, checking their views and their subs and seeing how they're growing and monitoring, which is one of the reasons I wanted to talk to you, because yours just go, it seemed to grow pretty quickly. But as I was, you know, looking into your channel for this interview, like I started listening to a lot of your beats, and you have a very unique sound. It's almost like mysterious, dark pop, like a toy box feeling to it. Alice in Wonderland. Like, how did you get that sound? What is influencing that sound?
I love that question, honestly. I think I listen to just a lot of different music, and I think there are really no limitations to what I listen to. Like, I guess my influences range from like classical music to pop music to even like metal music and like orchestral stuff. I use a lot of orchestral elements, and I just I wanted to incorporate kind of like everything that I liked, or just kind of try everything, because I'm one of those people that's like, I don't really want to stick to just one thing. I want to kind of like take them all and like try them and mesh them well.
That's cool. I applaud you for that.
Thank you.
And just speaking of your beats here, like your arrangements are pretty crazy too. Like, for most, you know, as a producer, and for most producers, like when I hear someone else's beat, I could kind of picture it in my head, how it looks on like the DAW grid, you know, like it will kind of do like a diamond shape and then come back down and then go back up again for the chorus. With your beats, like stuff was just coming out of the, you know, corners out of nowhere, and it didn't have that grid feeling to it. I'm like, it felt like, you know, the sounds felt like they meshed well and they were supposed to be there, but it definitely didn't have like the Black Grid feeling to it.
Yeah.
So like, what's your, like when I do a beat, obviously like I'm doing melody or probably chords first, then melody, and then I add the drums. Do you have a process like that? How do you approach it?
I think a lot of the time I usually start with, I have a melody that's kind of in my head, like an earworm maybe, and I get that out. Usually that'll be probably the lead, and it's usually probably on like a music box sound, depending on the artist. And then I'll kind of like build the beat around that. And that's basically it. Yeah.
Cool. Do you ever like have like a sound in your head and you're like, oh, I got to get that down. And then you build like half a beat. This happens to me all the time. I'll build, you know, a half a beat and then I'll realize, oh, I just made that same beat two weeks ago. Like yes. I'm pretty much building the exact same beat.
Yes. I feel that way a lot of the time when I'm doing commissions for people, and I get commissioned a lot of the same artists, like Madison Beer, Olivia Rodrigo, Melanie Martinez. And I'm like, I don't want to make them all sound the same. I got to try something new.
Yeah. So tell me more about the commission thing. I checked out your Q&A video, which I give you a lot of credit for. Like, I am still not comfortable enough just to jump on my producer channel and be like, hey guys, it's me. Here I am. It's almost like, cause I consider that like its own separate brand.
Yeah.
But obviously one of these days I'm going to have to do it. But the one thing I kind of took away from that video where I was like, what's that, was where you were talking about the commissions. Mm-hmm. So what's that all about?
So, a lot of like people do their commissions differently, but mine is basically like a system where people can commission me to make a custom beat or backing track for them. And I have a set rate. And some people will come to me with like beat pack, like packs of beats commissions, mm-hmm. where I make like a bunch of beats for them and I tally it all up and I just give it to them. And I have this exclusive rights list as well that lists all their rights and how they can use the beats and stuff. And that sort of is included in the rates. So that's basically how I do mine. And I do it all over email so that I can really get like close and like personal with what they're like wanting me to make for them. So.
And this is mainly for like custom beats. Mm-hmm. And that's cool. Yeah. One of my questions here was, I'm skipping ahead, but one of my questions was going to be about your engagement and why you think it is so high. That's probably has something to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
For custom beats, do you have any like bad stories from going down the custom beat path?
Oh my goodness. Yes, I do. I think it just has to do with the payment issue, because I'm still working it out. But a lot of the time when I'll make like beat packs for people and there'll be like a huge sum of money, I won't get paid. And that was like when I wouldn't charge people first before I went to work, which is just, I'm wise about it now. But there have been times where like I would make commissions for people and I would not receive my money or my payment, and I would not hear from them I would just never hear back from them. So
And the reason I because I just had a similar bad experience. And the thing for me with like doing custom, I offer custom beats.
Mm-hmm.
But really I don't like doing them. Reason I say that is because as a YouTube producer, we're like, it's ingrained in our head that, all right, we got to post a beat, work on the next one, post the beat. It's like a timeline, and, you know, a constant, you know, thing that you have to keep doing.
Yeah.
And so whenever I got to do a custom beat, I'm like, oh, this is going to take out of my, like, even if they're like, I'll give you a $200 for it, which would be $200-$300 would be good for me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still in the back of my head like, okay, yeah, I could use this money, but it's still going to hurt my schedule. Like the money doesn't mean as much to me as staying on the YouTube schedule.
Yes, I agree. 100%.
Yeah. I, not to complain about this too much, but I had one where it was actually a Madison Beer beat. Hopefully this person never listens to this podcast, but it was a Madison Beer beat that they wanted me to make, and it was an unreleased song from her that someone posted on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
And in my head, I'm like, you know, what's the point of this if she's just gonna, if it's her song already? But I went ahead and remade it. And a lot of the stuff in the track, like, went against my producer instincts. Like, mm-hmm. there was like a swell reverse cymbal that whoever produced it originally repeated it like three times in the first verse. I'm like, I would never do that. That's a lot. But I'm like, all right, she wants it exactly like this. I'll, you know, I'd say I got about 90% of the way there. And at first I could tell, you know, she was new to buying beats. And so I'm like, hey, if you don't want the exclusive price, I can lease this to you for a lot cheaper. And she's like, okay. And in my head, I'm thinking, all right, good. I'll get less money, but I'll be able to stay on my YouTube schedule mm-hmm. and keep posting content. But long story short, when it got down to payment, she's like, oh, actually, I want the exclusive. And then we went back and forth for like 2 weeks where she's like, oh, there's a conversion rate in my country that I didn't know about. I got to save up more money. And so after about, you know, 3 weeks of not hearing anything from her, I just went and posted the beat on YouTube because I'm like, at least I could use it as a piece of content. And then I heard from her the next day. She's like, I swear I'm going to pay you tomorrow. Can you take that down? So
right now
it's down. It's just sitting there in my unlisted videos. I'm like, so that was the one thing I took away. Is next time I get a custom beat request, I'm having them pay at least half up front before I start working on it.
A down payment, indeed.
Yes. Okay. So, as I mentioned, your arrangements are crazy. they're crazy good and, you know, very impressive.
Thank you.
Like, how on a good week, how often are you posting beats? Like, how many can you crank out knowing that you go in depth with those arrangements?
When I wasn't on hiatus, because I currently am for a little bit, I would just, every time I got home, I would just be making content. And like maybe sometimes I would do like double uploads. I would upload like two, maybe every other day. I think that's about the best that I've done so far.
That's pretty good. Yeah. I'm like, two a week, and honestly that's tough for me, but I'm still, I find the more I push myself, I find that I could do more, so I'm still pushing. So with your sound, I gotta ask a question. Do you use any loops, or are you on Splice a lot? I'm on Splice a lot, mainly for like the drum one shots, mm-hmm. but what is the case for you?
I've been on Splice, but I don't think I've ever used any Splice loops. I use Logic to produce, so sometimes I'll use Apple loops, but lately I've just been kind of deviating away from it and sort of creating my own like drum stuff. I'll use like one shots, but like I'll program it all. And I just use a stock instruments on Logic, or sometimes I think for one of my Madison Beer beats, I did a little bit of sound design. I designed like a synth, and it was like perfect. And I was very proud of myself. Nice. So there's
nice.
That.
Nice. I remember, yeah, because there's all those videos, like how to, that's one thing. I'm a preset guy. Okay. I know I'm not proud to say that, but
I am
like,
too.
Like it takes so much time to design sounds. And I remember the first time I like watched a YouTube video, I'm like, all right, I'm going to learn how to do a saw sound. And I did it, and it sounded like a, like 1993 saw sound. And then I'm like, okay, I'm using it. And I created this. And then of course, like the first preset in Nexus or, you know, some other VST sounds way better. And so I'm like, all right, my sound design days are over after that. But so you're saying that you use mainly, factory sounds and Logic.
Yeah. And sometimes I'll tweak them to my liking, but that's pretty much it.
Very cool. Yeah. I actually found like, the less stuff I have at my disposal, the more productive I am. So that's mm-hmm. probably a good thing. So back to the point that I was talking about earlier. So like you're coming up on the 1K mark for subs,
mm-hmm.
but your views per video is pretty impressive for having you know, a younger channel like that.
Yeah.
Like how are you doing?
It's, I don't know.
Go ahead. I'll let you.
I have no idea what it is.
Obviously,
crazy
like the music quality of music, it is definitely a variable in it, but
yeah.
It seems like, yeah, that your fans like what you're doing. They're very well engaged, and yeah, you're getting a lot of views per video.
Yeah. I think it's partly luck. I really don't know.
Yeah. If only there was an answer to it.
Yeah.
I like to ask that. Usually it's, you know, consistency and staying in like a similar genre.
Mm-hmm.
Looking at your videos, you do a pretty good job of, you know, sticking with the same kind of sound.
Yeah.
Or at least artists and stuff like that. Of kind of the artists you do, who's your favorite artist that you do beats for?
I think maybe Melanie or Madison, mainly because I feel like I'm good at those ones the best. And I'm used to them.
Very cool. Yeah, for me, Madison Beard, like I can't say I was aware of her, and like her songs would always pop up on you know, Spotify for me, because I would just put on like a pop playlist. But it was, you know, like 2 years ago, I'm like, all right, I'm going to try one of these. And I did like a Madison Beer video, and I got more views than I would normally get. So I'm like, okay, let me do another one. So it just suited me, and it's working for my channel. So I keep doing them. But yeah, I've become a fan of her since. She's kind of a badass.
Yes.
I have to put it one way. Let's see. So we talked about the commissions. That was one thing I was going to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to ask about the YouTube grind, and how do you cope with the YouTube grind? Do you take breaks,
hobbies?
Mm-hmm. What's going on there? For me, I've noticed this podcast is a nice way to break up the constant upload of beats.
Mm-hmm. I've been on a break for a little bit, but I'm working on stuff to sort of make a comeback and post again, so I can engage with my audience again, because I've kind of missed them. But outside of that, I usually I make my own music, or I do other sort of creative things, like I don't really know. I like video games. I do that a lot outside of music. Cool. So there's that. And very, creating very cool. Art too.
I saw on your profile that you have an album on Spotify.
Yes.
I took a listen. Very good. You could sing too. Multi-talented. Tell us more about that. And like, are you planning to do more releases? And
so, yeah, I am planning. I'm working on something right now. The genre will deviate from the album that I do have on Spotify from what that is. Mainly, I think I'm going to focus on vocal performance, because I am, at my core, I am like a singer, and the producing mm-hmm. part just kind of like blossomed from that. And I'm really excited to start working on it and working on music again and releasing stuff.
Very cool. Yeah, I mean, I wish I could sing. I'm a terrible singer. But yeah, I would, because obviously everyone likes their own beats. I would be jumping on my own beats and pumping out songs all day long. But
sometimes I make very songs cool. My own beats.
Yeah. Let's see. Have you, actually, let's stay on YouTube a little bit here. Do you do any types of promotion for your videos at all?
I think the only time when I intentionally promoted my beat was on Instagram. I used the promotion feature, and I paid a little bit of money to get it pushed, and I think it worked a little bit. It was for one of my Madison Beer beats, but other cool. than that, I don't do any intentional promotion.
Yeah, I kind of have a love-hate relationship with promoting my beats. Sometimes that feels like it works really well. Sometimes it doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
So more to come on that for me. I'm kind of on a hiatus right now from promoting beats just to see how it goes. Let's see. So you're obviously grown on YouTube pretty well. And you mentioned Instagram. Like, are there any other platforms that you're growing pretty well on?
I have a Discord server that I use to get closer to my subscribers and my followers. And we I think I stated my Discord people, they get like first dibs on the beats and stuff. Like they can hold them first before I get to my emails and stuff. And I just like chatting and getting to know my my followers on there. So that's my other platform is Discord.
Very nice. Very cool. Have you entered, I love asking this question, but have you entered the world of TikTok yet as a producer?
Not yet. I love TikTok, but it's so scary to like, put your music on there. 'Cause people can be a bit harsh.
Yeah. For me, I find it's hard. I don't know. It's hard to find how you want to represent yourself on there. 'Cause it seems like, you know, everything is like a humorous element, and it's like, all right, well, how do you bring a humorous element to producing? And then you're like, okay, I could do this and that, but is that really me? I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm dabbling in it, trying to, I've been trying to do remixes, and then I'm recently just started pushing out just like type beat videos, which everyone says that will never work, but testing it out. I just did one today. It got like 100 views so far. I'm like, hey, I'll take 100 views. That's 100 people that haven't seen it before. So I'll take it, but testing it out. We'll see how it goes. Email marketing. Do you do any email marketing?
I think I tried to at one point. I tried to set up a website, but I honestly feel like I like emailing people and to do business with them. Because it just feels more personal, and I can get a better sense of what they're looking for that way.
Yeah, that's the one weird thing about email marketing is like, because I do it. I have like probably like when someone downloads one of my beats, they'll receive like a sequence of like 10 emails, but it's all automated, so you forget it's even happening, and you know you'll get like an email out of the blue from someone. You know, referencing one of those emails, and you're like, what is this? Who is this person? And you're like, oh yeah, I got those emails going out to everyone. So it's like, you gotta make sure you pay attention to it, to, you know, make sure you know what's going out. Let's see. So one of my questions was going to be, do you prefer being an artist over a producer? It sounded like artist is your main priority there. That's very cool.
I think for a long time it had been artist, but I think they're on equal levels now. I just kind of want to be well-rounded.
Yeah, that's cool. Like long-term, are you trying to do music as a long-term career? I was going to say, this is a safe space. We all are trying to do music as a long-term career. So don't be afraid to admit it, but very cool. Yeah. I will say this, you know, I'm currently working a corporate job, but I've always done music on the side. And like, if you're into it, it never really goes away. Mm-hmm. Like it may fall asleep for a while, but you'll wake up one morning and be like, oh my God, I gotta create, I gotta make some music. So whatever you do, don't give up on it. Any other big projects on the horizon? You mentioned you might be putting out another album.
Yes. That I'm not sure when, but I hope to get it done before this fall, maybe by this summer.
Cool. Very cool. I'll look forward to it. Let's see. And I was trying to find some, so we're firing through my questions here, but some new ones I was thinking of. Are there any producers, like who are your like YouTube producer influencers or anyone that you would want to see me interview on this podcast to learn more about them?
Let's see. When I was first starting out, I had some YouTubers that I did subscribe to. Let's see. It was Gold's House. I really liked his beats. Morgan Likes Music. Their channel was really cool. And I think that was about it. Those were the two main ones that I was very cool. Influenced by.
I remember Gold's House. I was influenced by him too. And I think I started following him right when he hit 10,000 subs. Mm-hmm. And I think I sent him a message, naive person just getting into it, sent him a message like, "Hey man, any advice for doing it?" And I think I mentioned that I create music about 3 hours a week. And he was like, "Bro, you got to do much more than 3 hours a week." He's like, "It's got to get up to about 20. And I'm like, "Okay, yeah, I'll get there. But I think he's right. Yeah, I find ways to fit in time for music. I'm always, my studio's in my basement. I'm always running down here in between doing dishes and, watching TV. I'll run down for 20 minutes, lay down a piano lead or something like that, and run back up. But so that was all the big questions I had for you. You tackled a lot of them as we were going. One last one for you, any advice for up and coming producers that are starting on YouTube, trying to sell beats? What advice would you give to them?
I think just to work with what you have. Because I started off very small. I started off using free DAWs online, and I didn't start using big stuff until my dad got me Logic because he thought it was a step up from what I was using, and that was just that was just a blessing. But you can start small, and once you really start to get to know your DAW that you're using, you can invest in bigger things. But don't feel pressured to have expensive VSTs or plugins to sound good.
Yeah, I agree with that. Mm-hmm. I remember I saved up forever to get Omnisphere.
Oh.
And I don't use it though. I never use it.
If I could sell it back,
I would. Yeah, that was one where I'm like, I got to get this. This is the, the key to it. Everyone's, these are the best sounds, and I just never use it. So very cool. But thanks for joining. Any other things you want to talk about or items you want to shout out?
I don't think so. I think that's all. I think I'm good.
Okay, cool. Thanks for joining. This is going to be a good one. I appreciate you hopping on. All right. We'll talk to you. Thank you. Bye.